Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Pen pals, hey, it's me. Yeah, I'm talking to you right before the episode starts. Here's the reason. If you are listening to this today, and today being relative, but let's just say it came out the day it dropped, whatever, it's the 20th of April. Next week, on the 25th of April, I have a big announcement, something really, really cool, really, really fun, really, really something I never thought I'd be able to get to do. I'm doing it. You're going to get to enjoy it. That's all I want to say. But if you follow me at Daniel Van Kirk, I hope you do. You should be paying attention on Monday the 25th because I have a great announcement and I wanted to let you know about it. Okay, let's go to the show.
If you want to be my friend, you would better go and get a pen. Maybe we can keep in touch
with me.
Like they did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago.
I'm gonna tell you,
we nail it every time.
In the contest of better voice, it is a dead heat.
It's a dead heat, folks. Shanley, get a poll going. Is it a dead heat?
Rory, you are going to be a rock star.
Okay.
In any genre of music.
Okay.
What is the genre? And
why? Where's this coming from?
Because does
I feel like
is any like, party?
Why are you asking me that?
You don't. You never wanted to be a rock star.
Of course, it's great.
Is it prog rock, Tool, or...
I like that, but I
if think that's such an easy number one, I kind of want to force you to say your number two.
I have a few.
But you can only pick... Great, cause then you can only pick one.
Okay. So there mine's, is that, there is that
mine's,
version.
Mine's and it's not even close.
You know what I think trumps that, though, is for me being in like a jam band, like something like The Dead or Fish. I think I'd actually enjoy that more because
great,
the improvisational element.
That's
but also, if someone said you're a jazz legend... I don't know what instrument, maybe piano, I don't know, but I think being a jazz legend.
Interesting, so you don't want to sell
out
stadiums.
In the tiny clubs, I don't know that I care about stadiums.
You don't have to. I'm just saying that isn't a factor for you.
I don't know that I care about it in stand-up either. You know what I would love about playing a giant arena as a stand-up? That paycheck.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'd enjoy the show. Have we said this before?
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd enjoy the show.
I don't know if we said it, but we've talked about this.
Like, yeah, I've definitely said this before. But like... The jazz vibe. I just love it.
I mean, you get
like
a lot of
room
street cred.
You're not supposed to be
a
in.
Lot of respect.
Yeah.
I think it's country, man.
You'd be like a Garth Brooks kind of vibe or what? Or like a Jason Isbell. Or like a Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah, closer to that end of things.
I keep going.
But
I'm like way off. Or like a Prince. Or like Metallica.
Have you watched Explained on Netflix?
No.
So it's literally just like little college lectures, essentially, but multimedia, you're watching it. So for us, it's very good because, you know, no nap.
Because we're
no
dumb.
Nap like a college
we're
lecture.
Dumb.
No nap like a college lecture. And they just take topics and explain them. The first episode is fairy tales.
Okay.
And then...
what, like where that comes from?
Where they come from. Yeah, it's literally like, oh, you're literally sitting there and it... We are similar in this way. I'm like, I'm just learning.
Yeah.
And it feels really good.
Yeah. You know what I think that is also? I think that's age.
Sure.
I think you get to an age where you go, learning is fun.
But aren't you glad we've talked
about
this?
It's not in your 20s.
We know people who got older and lost curiosity.
Yeah.
And so, and hopefully that's, we're not, that's not exclusive to us. I think hopefully it's just a social shift that people are staying curious longer.
It could be
who
you're surrounded by.
Yeah.
Influenced by.
But they did one about country music.
Okay.
And just like how racist it is.
Yeah.
But
what, in its origins?
In its origins, but then also like how Lil Nas X like dropped on the country charts and then it started charting Old Town Road. And then they literally just said, this doesn't meet the criteria for country music and pulled
it
off.
Oh, after it charted.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Pulled it off.
I
yes.
didn't know that at all.
And then it just talked about the discrepancy of like even women, like female country artists get... 26 or 33% of all radio play.
Yeah.
And it's like hasn't changed in 12 years.
Right.
Like
yeah.
it's just this, they're like, and people like a couple of years ago, somebody was like, yeah, it's just if country music were a salad, women aren't the lettuce. Men are the lettuce. Women are the tomatoes. And it was called it was called Tomato Gate. It was like this whole thing about just saying that women country singers were tomatoes. It's wild. But anyway, you would really
But also
enjoy it.
Which one would you rather eat by itself?
I mean, you...
Lettuce or tomatoes?
That snap?
Little tomato?
When you...
Oh! Tomatoes for life.
That was interesting. You want to be a jazz. Jazz makes sense, but I didn't see it.
I think, and this is not by choice, but I don't think I've ever listened to music and actively felt like I could or could not connect based on the gender of the person talking to me. Even when it is a woman clearly talking about a man. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, let's say, like, Jolene.
Jolene.
You know, you're not listening to that going,
Jolene.
I can't totally enjoy this because it's a woman singing it, and it's not a thing I relate to. Instead, you just sit there going, this is a great song.
Great song.
You don't, there isn't some part of me that goes, wait, put on some man music. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what the sad thing is? There are people who say that.
I know, and they obviously work at country music stations. But what
and
I'm
probably
saying
a lot of
is,
other stations,
never,
too.
It's never occurred to me... in any form of art. Like and I'm not saying this like I'm a good person. I'm just saying it like naturally. I've made no decision. But when I watch a movie, I don't sit there and go, the lead is a woman.
Do you think...
it doesn't occur to me.
Do you think that's
either
part...
Either it's good or it's not good.
Do you think that's part of what blew a lot of people away when they watched Parasite? Is they were like, I'm identifying with these characters and I'm invested in this story and none of these people look like
me. Yeah, and they're not me.
And I've never lived there.
And I think maybe they didn't know that. Like, or just didn't register with them. Like, it just seems so strange to me.
Squid Game was part of that for at least a lot of American culture where people are like, yeah, I love this show and it's like a lot of Asians. Like, and you're like, yeah, you mean people?
Yeah.
You mean humans
people.
Just trying to like...
Story. Like a good show.
Be a better dad
like a good
or like make up amends for the things they did in their life. And
you mean relevant plot lines and character story arcs and
just crushing that change. Mind of yours?
Yeah, I don't... I just never... I mean, as a kid, you would. Like, if I saw an 8-year-old boy and he was like, I don't like girls, I go, yeah, I get it.
But, contrarily, talking as though we've already read a letter, contrarily...
Said contrarily. That's how people know we're educated. All right, we're not some dumb idiots.
We are speaking.
We are allowing you to call us cackling idiots, but make no mistake.
Right.
Daniel and I use words like contrarily, okay?
Contrarily, we are speaking from the mass. So we are the mass being like, wow, look at this story about an Asian family, and I can like it. There does also, though, that doesn't absolve anyone from saying, well, we don't need to make movies with strong black leads and characters because those black people can come watch this movie and identify with these white superheroes or whatever.
Right, right.
So you do also, from the mass side, understand you
yes.
can see from others.
And you'd like
but
to,
from the minority side, they need to be represented.
Everyone.
And so that they
just want to see yourself.
So that they can see themselves.
The power of seeing yourself is so fucking important.
The power
it's so important
of Black Panther
yourself.
In the African American community.
It's massive.
Right.
Here is a superhero. That's me. Right. I'm up there.
Right.
I'm not sitting here going, I didn't feel that with like Superman as a kid. Christopher Reeve, you
kidding
me?
Even had to.
Michael Keaton is Batman?
You did, but you didn't know it because it was your norm.
It was the norm. Right. But you were feeling that same thing. You just didn't know it was a big deal.
Right.
And then with something like Black Panther, goes, it is a big deal. Look how big of a deal it is.
Yeah.
Look how big of a deal it is. And it's not just movies. And it's not just like superheroes. People seeing themselves, whenever you get to these Oscars and there's always the speech, movies matter. They show us our lives through the lens of a thing.
Dude, heartbreak feels better in a place like this.
But when people say, like, when they give those cheesy speeches every single year trying to pitch movies to us, which are doing great, it's our biggest export.
And really,
in the country,
I'm like, just show me the montage of people opening and closing doors. Because you did that 10 years ago and I still love it. That was enough.
Yeah. Hello? Hello? Goodbye. Closing a door. But I like to say that, to go, this is why movies matter. Don't sit there and then become a culture that's not diverse in your casting, in your employment, in directing, in producing, in every aspect of it.
Yeah.
Don't give that speech and then not be this very inclusive atmosphere, because that speech is saying, this is why stories matter. This is why they matter.
Yes.
Because when someone sees themselves succeeding on screen, they start to tell their own story in their head that they can also do that. Not become an actor.
Right.
Not tell that story. But they can sit there and go, wait, I think I could be a doctor.
Or
you can. Look who doctors are. Like you can
movie,
be a doctor.
We talked about this earlier. A movie like Wild, where they're like, I can deal with my issues and go for a long hike and take some time for myself to sort out the shit I did wrong in this life.
Like, yes.
Yeah, I can go do
and
that.
And when those stories are predominantly white characters, people of other races sit there and go, well, maybe I can't, because you're not showing it to me. And I'm not talking about an adult who hasn't come to that realization that they're not represented. I'm talking about a kid who thinks in the reality of the world, they think, well, I can't.
Right.
I can't because that I'm not up there.
Right.
And I guess what's up there, I'm being told that's who does do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of what you just said, do you know what I think was one of the dumbest, craziest things about the Oscars that we had? Nobody's talking about
curveball.
It. Nobody's talking about it?
Yeah.
You were like, show this reputation, be diverse or whatever.
Yeah.
So they had awards that they were like, we're not going to air those. Do you want to know what one of them was?
What?
Denzel Washington giving an Oscar to Samuel L. Jackson. Let's not air that.
Let's not air that. Also, two very notable people.
Let's not air that. Let's not air that.
We don't need to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, we haven't even gone yet.
Let's go to the letters!
We should start. Leave this in. We should start. We should start where we go. And we're back. And we went.
And we did go. And we're back.
Should we?
Should we start doing like that? And let's go to the letters and we snap and we disappear for a little bit. And now editing is becoming crazy.
Wait, Lissa, here's the thing.
Lissa, want to do magic tricks?
I'm
going
to say something to you and to the camera. And to you and to camera. Because you look at you look away when you're talking to a person.
Shut up. You close your eyes when you're looking at them. And when you're speaking. And then you open your eyes when you're not talking.
Okay?
And then you look at
Here's the thing, and I don't care, right? I'm gonna do another reference, same movie. I'm gonna take a little bit of that light, right?
Yeah.
This right here, right?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna shine it on Lissa Rubin.
Okay.
Chad Bouchard, fine, but no, I love
him. And fine, but he's doing fine. That's the review.
Right.
He's doing fine. He's still here.
Right.
He's still here.
Right. He will not get an angle. He will not get a mic. He
will
get a
never.
Cough. But
he will never. In fact, I don't even like that you said his full name.
We are our own stop shop, right? We've hung our shingle, right?
Keep going. I'm gonna get this mic right in front of my face.
You
keep going.
I can't. Well, then I hope we stay in this, here.
I want people to see the.
We're gonna be. If you're ever watching this, we're over on us because you turned into a mic mechanic.
I want people to go, wow, Rory is really
Lissa
strong.
Lissa Rubin.
Okay.
We are our own shop. Me and you make this whole thing. We didn't cut this sign,
but we built it.
We did cut that sign.
Okay.
And she works her goddamn ass off on all these edits and all these clips and all this stuff, right?
And you're wanting to add more work. Go ahead. Keep going.
Something like that, where we go like this, and then we're there. I don't even have to look at her.
She loves it.
Loves it.
You do love that?
Great. She would love. And then I would get a text that's like, Daniel, look at it, or something like that. And then I would not respond for days.
Yeah.
And then I'd go, pretty good. But she will have loved.
You're pretty good. She's like, fuck you.
Yeah, no. Wait,
what are we doing?
Let's just do the motion.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Good luck, Lissa.
Also, leave that in
all
as is.
Of that.
Don't even make that a
And if you're listening, that's what Friday's for. You can watch.
Yeah, you can watch that
and
on
if
Friday.
You're not, if you can't, you don't have time to watch. We're about to read a letter. That's what you're
and
here
also,
for.
If you didn't like that and you've already changed the channel, you're not hearing this part anyways. So what does it matter?
Yeah, true.
Hi, Rory and Daniel.
Oh, okay.
Longtime Penny, finally a paler. So that means someone went the distance and realized Rory should go first.
You think someone went cake, and now they think that's how it's supposed to be.
And now they think that's ice cream.
This is what I would say.
And they're right.
This is what I would say. If somebody is a paler,
yeah,
and they're like, hi, Rory and Daniel.
Yeah.
They've had the episodes on,
yeah,
but I wouldn't say they've listened.
I think they have.
Okay.
And I think they've heard what needed to be heard.
Okay.
Hi, Rory and Daniel, just to repeat that. With an exclamation point to really hammer it
for
home
me.
That's just to end it.
Okay.
Longtime Penny, finally a paler. Unfortunately, yes. I don't have any super fun, interesting, banter-inducing questions. Hashtag subject to change, maybe. But I really wanted to get some insight from two people who seem to be so self-aware. I just left an 8-year relationship in which I was verbally and emotionally abused. Ugh. Even now, about 6 months later, I hate saying abused. I feel like a fraud. And that part of me knew what was going on, and I was too much of a coward to do anything about it. I don't like how we're talking to ourselves, Daniel. Mm-hmm. From this, what if that was in the letter? From this relationship, you're actually more self-aware than we are. From this relationship, my anxiety and depression were so severe that I was taking Xanax every day, especially to sleep, having panic attacks with horrible real symptoms, and my underlying issues around body dysmorphia and disordered eating got out of hand. I was in constant fear of upsetting him or doing anything wrong, which was all the time, no matter the circumstance. I also realized triggers are real. For example, I offered a few friends a ride to the beach one day, and while driving, needed to stop because I couldn't stop crying. Turns out I was triggered by the fear of driving with someone in the car, because every time I drove, my ex, he would scream at me for not knowing how to drive, not knowing where I'm going, and me being the reason he eventually dies in a car accident, etc. Just in general, a lot of damage to my feelings of self-worth and confidence in any of my thoughts and or abilities. Anyway, I didn't tell anyone anything for a long time. I just thought this is what real love is, and this is as good as I can get. I mean, no one actually runs through the airport for you unless you're in a rom-com, right? I think that's true. They're not allowed to now, 9/11.
But
so,
if they loved you enough, they would buy a
they
cheap
would
flight
get arrested
to somewhere.
Yeah, Vegas. There's always deals. So my unfunny, existentially crushing question from a now single 30-year-old is, what does real love feel like? What am I supposed to feel and expect? What is the line between relationships being hard work and relationships not being right? I love you guys, and you don't know how much you've helped me these last few months. Thank you for this podcast and your insight, heartwarming and heartfelt advice and discussions. Sincerely, A. P.S., just to not end on a sad note, how do you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Believe it or not, this is a longstanding family debate. Peanut butter on one side and jelly on the other, or both on one side of the bread? Please explain to my mom how insane this is. Both on both sides?
Well, first things first.
First things first.
Congrats on being a paler.
I was going to say, first things first, most important. What are you doing with that peanut butter and jelly?
That's the most critical part of the letter for me. First things first, congrats on being a paler.
You made it.
Now, the next step for you, if you care, and you don't have to care, it's an option.
Being a Patroni.
Patroni.
That's someone who's listened to all the Patreons, and the only way to do that is to sign up and subscribe. $5 a month, 4 episodes. Yeah, that's right. We're pitching our product during your very heartfelt, emotional letter. That's how we are.
Life has spectrums.
Now, contrarily, how do you... Peanut butter and jelly.
First of all, do you count it as a PB&J if someone toasts it?
That's a great question. I kind of prefer it toasted.
Well, it's fucking great.
Because it also gets that peanut butter hot.
I know.
And also hot jelly. Come on.
I know.
Come on.
But is it a PB&J or did somebody go, I got that toast and I just made a little sandwich out of it?
I think it is. I think a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is not hinged on the type of bread.
I'm fine with that.
I think it's hinged on the ingredients.
Right. So, for me in my
house, we will serve...
Huh?
Creamy or crunchy?
Either or. Whatever you got in the...
Great answer. But what kind of jelly? Give me a flavor.
I mean...
Grape, strawberry. Those are the two mains, right?
Dude, I don't know. You get yourself a raspberry preserve?
I'd do that. I'd for sure do that.
Fucking A, you would.
But which of those? So you're going to go raspberry preserve.
No,
you're,
making me pick.
I'm making you pick.
And we're at the cabin. We've had a couple of cocktails. We walk.
Why do we have to be drunk? Why do we have to have drank?
Oh, did you skip the cabin part? Did you not hear the cabin part?
You also don't have to. We just got to the cabin. We just walked into the cabin. Well, I'm hungry.
We're turning the oven on.
And I got to get something in my belly before I...
What time of day did we get there?
We got there at 3 a.m.
Oh, we're making a tombstone pizza. It's not even... Without a doubt.
Give me... Get into this. I got a lot to say on this. Peanut butter and jelly. What are you doing?
Okay.
How are you doing it?
Okay.
Are you toasting the bread?
No.
You don't like that?
No, I love it, but I'm just saying, just PB&J.
You're not.
Just give me Welch's, whatever you want, but some grape jelly.
Creamy, crunchy.
Either, I know whatever you have.
But I want you to pick one.
Fine. You know what? We never bought crunchy. I like the texture. I'm happy with it. But I guess creamy.
Sure.
You're looking at your two halves,
yeah.
Right? Your two slices.
Yeah.
One of them, you do the peanut butter on.
Yeah.
Then you do a nice, not a plug, because I don't like these guys, but a nice dollop of jelly.
Yep.
Same side. Rub those two together as best you can. Put that son of a bitch together. And then let's cut it down the middle. I'm not going diagonal.
I think I'm a middle guy.
I could go either one.
I don't think I like diagonal cut sandwiches.
I had a buddy once.
And I am going to take a hard stance on that.
My dad, if you don't cut it diagonally for my dad, he'll hit you in the face. And we were all like, oh, you're being abused at home.
And everyone goes, I don't think you understand what abuse is, because that's crazy.
Right.
Now, contrarily.
Now,
what
is your way?
I'm cutting it down the middle. Toaster, untoasted. I probably prefer toasted because I do like it gets the little hot.
I mean, if we're living life, it's just going to be white Wonder Bread.
I want white bread. I know it's not healthy.
Right.
I know bread isn't healthy.
You know it's pretty.
But I know that white bread is like, it turns to sugar. Like, I get it. That's why it's delicious.
Right.
I've been doing this like nice sourdough loaf, and I don't like sourdough really. The sourdough loaf that's not crazy sourdough, and it's real good. It's real
buttery. You know, I used to be a brioche guy. I'm way off brioche.
I don't think I can do brioche anymore. It just doesn't give me enough.
It is wonderful. You pick a little brioche, maybe a little spinach artichoke dip or something like that. It's great.
Maybe.
But
as a sandwich, as a foundation.
You don't need that much.
Yeah. Like a breakfast sandwich, I'm not doing brioche anymore.
You do a sourdough?
I don't know. That's not my choice.
What, do you want a croissant?
For a breakfast sandwich? I used to love croissants, a little croissant-wich.
That's bad for you.
Do you want to know? I don't think I've had a croissant-wich, and someone's going to, yeah, but you haven't had Ted's croissant-wich.
Right.
I realize I haven't had all of the options. But for me, I still like a BK breakfast croissant-wich.
I don't know that.
I love that more than what I get at like many bodegas.
Whole Foods croissant with a chicken salad.
Yeah. Oh, I like a bialy. You know the bialys? Super thin bagels. So it's not like a full bagel.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Much thinner. So it's more it's just more accommodating to a sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not what you want if you're just having that.
So, but go into your production of your PB&J and then we'll.
I think I'm going separate sides.
You do peanut butter on one, jelly on the other, and
I
then
think I do.
Bring
and
then you
I,
marry
and then I marry them together.
Really?
I think I do.
As you're standing there, is peanut butter on the left or on the right?
Great question.
I feel like it's on your left.
I think it is too. And I don't know why that is.
You only
my instinct is that it is.
The butter knife that you used, provided.
I don't use it for both.
You don't use it for both?
That's where this is going.
Do you get a cutting knife to cut the sandwich, or do you use the knife?
Same knife.
Because then you get a little residue.
But if I'm making a sandwich, I'm getting like a steak knife, and I'm getting a good clean cut. But peanut butter and jelly, I'm going steak knife. You're not getting any friction in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a sandwich, you're getting a little pushback.
Yeah.
And also, sure, you're probably using a little
tougher
bread.
And you got to do that thing where you go
and
like,
you've toasted the bread. Like if I have a turkey or a ham sandwich, I'm toasted the bread. You know what I mean? Let's get into this.
Okay.
Let's dance.
Yeah.
First off, thank you so much for this. First off, we've been talking for 10 minutes about
but it's still good.
Your fault. Your
it's
fault with the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
It's still good, eh?
I got to say, this is great. Thank you for sharing this. I know it's a huge deal. I know it's crazy, but I'd like to think, in a world of some sense of recovery, that this is a great step towards healing. Not necessarily our response to it, but just sitting down, even if you never sent this to us, sitting down and typing this out, writing this out, I think is a great step towards some type of healing.
I
don't know how much healing.
When we do Patreon episodes,
something positive.
And sometimes we'll read somebody's follow-up letter and they go, hey, I'm so glad you read it. Just writing it out to you guys felt great. And then it always makes me happy because I think, you know what, we don't get to read we don't get to read every letter online.
Yeah.
And, on the show, I mean. And to know that for some people they might go, that's okay because it really felt good to write it.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Like that still... Yes. It makes me feel good, not in a self-righteous way, but in a like,
no, not, I'm happy not in, for not other in people. About us kind of way at all. Just the fact that someone was like, I wrote a letter and that felt good. It's like, that was never our intention, but to find out that's a byproduct.
Right.
That's great. And I got to say, I'm so sorry for the anxiety and the intense trauma that you've gotten from this 8-year relationship, because 8 years is a very long time for that trauma to get compounded mm-hmm. and become a major part of your reality, to yeah. become a major part of your interpretation of what things are,
how you
and
identify.
How things are.
Yeah.
And I know this probably goes without saying, but just going back to you sort of asking, you know, the now as a 30-year-old, what does real love feel like? What am I supposed to feel and expect? My answer right out of the gate is that this was not it. And to mm-hmm. wash this mm-hmm. off and cleanse yourself of this is going to take real deep work that I can't tell you I know how to do, because I don't relate to this. But I do know that that is in what you've written here, point blank, this is all the information I have.
Yeah.
That's not love in any form. And you have to unteach yourself that any of that is relevant to someone caring about you. That's how I feel based on what I've read here.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, he did do these things or that things. Overall, treating someone like this is not. It's awful. It's a horrible way to be.
It is abuse.
It's 1,000,000%. I know you don't want to use that word,
but abuse isn't like always like, wow, and maybe this was
physical
some of that,
abuse.
But abuse wasn't always like, wow, clear cut. They hit me in the face.
That's abuse.
I was abused. I'm out. Or they hit me in the face and I allowed it and it went on and on and on, but I was abused. Sometimes abuse is slow and manipulative.
I was about to say, low methodical. Key manipulation is abuse.
And so it doesn't feel good by any means to go, wow, I was abused. But you also shouldn't deny yourself the truth of like, wow, I was abused.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd also like to sort
You're
of throw out there that part of me knew what was going on. I was too much of a coward to do anything about it. That's not true. You're no longer in that relationship. Right. Just because there was a time period where you didn't have a reaction you wanted to have, it shouldn't discount the reaction and progress and changes you made going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's cowardly at all. I actually think, as cliche as it may sound, the abuse that you endured is cowardly behavior. To someone to treat you like that, that person has something they are so afraid to confront and deal with. I would say that's cowardly, to take out your personal, whatever internal you have going on, to abuse someone else for that. To me, that's cowardly behavior, unwilling to face your own demons. You were facing them constantly, and now you're having to face them even more because of someone else. That's not cowardly. That's here you are writing this letter. You've left that relationship. From what I understand, just your self-awareness of why you started crying in the car and recognizing the trauma and the overall self-awareness that you have, I think that's the definition of strength. To me, the definition of strength is identifying the issue and being willing to take the steps towards positive change. You don't do that if you're a weak person. Mm-hmm. You don't do that if you're scared. That takes
and you might strength it's okay to have been to weak, but you did get strong enough to do those things. And you know,
yeah,
man. Sometimes if we gave ourselves as much grace as we want to extend to other people.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes we're like, oh, like we hear a person like, it's okay, whatever. And then to ourselves, we're like, you're a fuck up.
Being hard on yourself, though, is just, I think it's just part of the deal.
Agreed.
Because you sort of live outside of your own body.
Be more conscious about giving yourself grace.
Yeah. I think that's true, because that we sort of have a job where there's so many times that we can be hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we also, a lot of times, get to leave a stage where a lot of people really liked what we did, and we get to soak, our egos get to soak up how good that feels. Yeah. And so, by default, we're sort of going, I'll take this little self-applause break. So, we are being nice to ourselves by nature of our job a lot of times.
Yeah.
Not by choice. You know, just our egos going, oh, it feels good. Someone really liked that show. Oh, someone saw that show. That feels really good. Someone cared to even watch it. I think, I mean, we'll say it forever.
What can I ask you?
That therapy is a huge, huge first step.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you probably already know that. Like, if you're a paler, you've already heard us say that so many times. And I would say, give yourself an immense amount of credit. Like Daniel's talking about. Sure, we can be hard on ourselves, but don't be afraid to congratulate yourselves for confronting a problem and having the willingness to change that problem for your own joy and happiness, for your own better experience of whatever this life is in this simulation.
In the paragraph here, to the next step for that, I think it's important to remember nobody runs through an airport, right? And my response is, they do. But keep in mind that almost any time in any movie or TV show where someone's running through an airport to catch somebody, it's because they fucked up.
That's right.
It's because there was a big fuck up.
Yeah.
And so,
which one comes to mind for you right out of the gate?
Well, Ross and Rachel.
Ah, there you go.
But so, is there a scene like that in When Harry Met Sally?
I don't know. Nick Cage for me. Okay. Nick Cage for me in Family Man. At the very end. Taya Leone.
Spoiler alert.
Taya Leone.
But they, you know, they fucked up.
Spoiler alert, it's like a 25-year-old movie.
The goal is that you go to, you went to the airport together, or nobody's at the airport, you're at brunch.
So
if you're running through an airport, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'm going to ask you, Rory.
Okay.
What does real love feel like?
I think you know it, and I don't think it is the way that it's painted out to be in storytelling.
Also, real love, not real life, right?
Yeah.
So you and your wife might have real love.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you have...
Honestly, it's pooping in front of each other. Okay, stop.
but that doesn't mean you also haven't had to deal with real life. So you've had struggles and fights and like, I'm going to go outside because I can't fucking stand you right now.
Yeah.
And I've been there like when you guys have said that to each other and then I'm like, I should leave. And you both were like, you stay here
and you witness this, Daniel.
Also, so everybody knows, that was a joke. I left.
It's not. We pushed. We tied him up.
So real life and real love try to go hand in hand, but they're not the same thing. So you can have real love and also have some real fights and real struggles and real ups and downs.
I think real love is something that you know, but I think more people know it than they think. I think people assume when you think real love, you think a romantic relationship. You think someone that you're dating or someone that you're going to marry. I think that causes us to discount actual love that we feel and experience and sense all the time with so many different people that it doesn't necessarily come from a space of, oh, this romantic intimacy.
Yeah.
Like, sure. But I think because we've wired ourselves through media, through, you know, TVs and books and movies to go, love is when someone does that and it results in this. No, for the sake of maybe a good story in this show, sure. But in real life, it isn't those gestures to me. And it isn't those things. It's this feeling of wanting to be around this person, the vibe you feel with somebody, the energy that somebody gives off, the respect that you want to give to somebody, and the respect that you can easily identify that they are giving to you, and not roping yourself into this sort of this hypnosis of what you kind of want love to be because of what you've seen someone do on Instagram or TikTok. Like, to me, it doesn't have to be these grand gestures. It doesn't have to be this expensive moment. It doesn't have to be these material things. It's literally just a vibe of who you are around, and you feel that. And sometimes, and we've talked about this before, sometimes you feel that and you don't recognize it because you maybe at first don't have a physical attraction to someone. Mm-hmm. A lot of times physical attraction is the first thing you feel. It's not shallow. That's just nature, that you just have that, a physical attraction with somebody. Right. But then there's also people you've gotten to know that their physical attraction has changed for you because you've gotten to know who they are as a person. Exactly. And you now see them differently and feel them differently. Those are, to me, are like the first layers of some kind of a real love. Let's say it's me and you.
Sure.
And let's say you and I aren't physically attracted. You've never asked me out. I've never asked you out.
Right.
And we hang out at work events and we got drinks. And at some point I'm with a friend. I'm like, I don't know, like, just this vibe with like Daniel. And you're saying the same thing to your friend. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the presentation of love. It's not necessarily this readily identifiable thing. It's you going, I feel comfortable around Daniel, and I know that Daniel cares that I feel comfortable. And I know it because naturally I feel the same, wanting to provide the same thing
yeah.
to Daniel. And then you go, that's what it is, you know? But you yeah. have it in your friendships. For you sure. have friends that you love,
right.
but you're not sitting there going, oh, I love you. I don't mean it the way I mean it with my wife. But in reality, you maybe kind of do. You yeah. maybe kind of do mean it the yeah. same way.
Yeah.
Because it's not going, hey, I love you. We're not going to kiss or anything. It's like, you're not in high easy. School. You know, right. we might. Well, we might. I don't know.
Right, right.
But you're not in high school where at some point you go, well, that is what that means. Sure. But as you mature and get older, you do have to learn that love might be how your friends responded when you had to pull over to start crying. And you go, yeah. what does real love feel like? Well, what did they do when that moment happened? Did they comfort you and care about you? You already know what it feels like. It's just, who are you feeling it from? Who are you feeling that vibe from?
Well, I think a big thing in this relationship.
It's why people say love is never where you're looking for it. It's because we've wired ourselves to go, that's what love looks like and what it is.
Whole seeing a cartoon saying love is something.
I ended up just kind of finding love with Daniel. It's because you weren't looking for it
right.
with Daniel. You just, it's just there.
But also, some people go looking for it and do find it.
Nope. Like a hard no, dude. Hard no.
I know we ran a little bit on this, but I just want to say quickly also, you know, what am I supposed to feel and expect? What is the line between relationships being hard work and relationships not being right? I think that something that goes for both of those, it seems to me that in the abusiveness of the relationship you were in, every single thing was on that person's terms.
Yes.
The mood, the attitude, the culture, the feeling, the expectation.
The lack of respect.
All of it. And
was,
so
was them.
I think a huge thing is compassion. That person will have compassion for what your day was like.
Your
needs. They have a compassion for what your day is going to be like tomorrow, so they know how to treat you tonight.
Yes.
They have compassion for what you went through. They have yes. compassion for a feeling you have, and so they're going to bite their tongue on maybe bitching about their day or reminding you that you still didn't do the thing you were supposed to do because they have compassion
yeah.
for what you're going through. A huge thing is compassion. And if I take many things from what you said your previous relationship was like, I would guess it lacked almost any compassion unless that show of compassion benefited your abuser.
Yes.
And so they were like being manipulative.
Yeah, exactly. Which and is so, abuse.
And the other thing I'll say, when people go, I don't want to go on these fucking dating apps. Everybody on there is crazy, right? And I've never done that, so take me with a grain of salt, maybe a grain and a half.
1.5 grand.
You have the ability to achieve or receive what you also have the capacity of giving. So Rory, if you told me, well, I'm on dating app and I keep meeting everybody, I go, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
So doesn't it lend to theory that there's the capacity for someone like you also on there?
Yes.
And so if always. You have the capacity to love and cherish and hold and have constructive arguments and fights with,
yes.
then you should be able to expect that capacity in another person.
And also know, and I think who this will is be another right for you, element.
Because other people have other capacities yeah. and they need to find their...
Yes, but and also know you are going to have friction and you are going to have arguments and, you know, fight over, you know, sometimes very big things and sometimes very little things. Don't assume that means it's not a good relationship. You are two separate people. And it what changes is as two people... Can you maturely work through a disagreement through communication and just understand that you're not there to change each other? You're not there to make someone become who you want them to be, just as you don't want to change who you are for someone else. But you can't discount that as two people in a relationship, there is a middle ground mm-hmm. of what you give and what you're saying, what you bring to it and what you take away from it. And you have to keep that in mind when it comes to relationships and real love, because that is the work. The work of a relationship is how much am I willing to donate to that middle ground and how much do I enjoy what I'm getting from that middle ground? If the answer is nothing, then you might not really enjoy that relationship and you might be the cause of trying to change someone and you don't want to do that and you don't want them to change you. So keep those things in mind. You're going to have friction. And you're going to fight. It doesn't mean you're in a bad relationship. And I say that just because
I don't want you to become triggered by friction. I think that could be a very real thing. Yeah. Coming out of a relationship that's only friction.
And time.
I think so. A relationship that's only friction. Now, obviously, there's types of friction. All the friction you are getting is horrifically bad abuse. But just know a disagreement with someone, and I'm sure I'm not saying you don't know this, but a disagreement with someone doesn't necessarily mean that it's the same.
Oh, here we go again.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. It might be friction that is really positive.
But also, and this is what therapy and time will do, you do need to be careful of finding yourself in a pattern where you can be with a person and yes. you allow yourself to be treated like this, or you feel like that's the norm, and so you're more tolerable of it too. It's going to take work.
It's the last thing. And also, even had you not experienced this kind of trauma, relationships take work, and they are things that you have to identify.
But they don't take that much pain.
They don't
there
take
is some pain,
pain
every once in a while, but it should be shared.
Love can come with pain, but this kind of pain is not okay. Yeah.
It should be
bad.
A controlled burn.
Yeah. Good word.
Hey.
Words. Hey.
Sandwich is done.
All right.
You lick the knife before you put it in the sink?
That feels dangerous, but sure.
You do it or you don't do it?
I do it.
Me too.
Okay. We hope we answered all your peanut butter and jelly questions and that you don't think Daniel is insane like your mom. But does them both on one side. That's what I gathered.
Yeah, weird.
But thank you. This is a big deal. This is a big deal letter. Let us know. Reach back out. Let us know how it's going, or if you have any more questions that we can maybe chit-chat about. We're here to do it. So good luck out there. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel.
And Daniel Van Kirk. Pen pals. Hey, it's me. This is like an ad, but it's an ad for an announcement. Yeah, you might have heard this at the top of the show. I'm just dropping it in here in case you skipped ahead. But don't skip ahead of this either. That's my new thing, trying to make people not skip through my ads, especially when they're fun stuff, like my fun thing. I'm going to announce this on April 25th. That is a Monday, 2022. When is what? I laid it all out for you. So follow me on at Daniel Van Kirk if you're not already. Keep an eye for that afternoon because I have a great announcement that involves a pen pal. Anyways, I think you guys will dig it. I can't wait to tell you all about it. It's happening on the 25th. All right. Bye.
And we are back.
We lost it in the end.
We didn't have it.
We had it up top.
We didn't want it.
No, up top. We had it.
Oh.
Do you like Whiplash?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hate the thing. Do like the movie as well.
Hate the result of actual Whiplash. Love the movie.
Isn't there a New York comedy show called Whiplash?
Guys, look, since we're doing plugs, I'm in a Damien Chazelle Babylon comes out on December 25th. The director writer of Whiplash. So mark it on
fair.
Your calendar. Mark it. Well, you brought up the
You're
movie
right.
Whiplash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't. I was comedy.
Look, politically, I can't sit here and say I don't like Whiplash. He said you cannot be in Babylon unless you
Could
publicly
you
state that you like all
so
of my
petty.
Movies. And I go, I do like them. Why you gotta be like that? I do. I like your movies.
Comes out Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. 2022, this year, folks. Go ahead and mark that on your calendar. You know, because everyone's always, you know, you don't have a lot going on
Rory,
at Christmas. Get to the theater.
Me and you, 9:30 showing, Arclight, back row.
There's no more Arclight.
Back row. We watch.
We still go, same theater.
I'm going to finish this, and then you're going to do one
of
your classics.
Oh, I know what it is. Dean? Talking about Dean?
We went and saw Dean, and now you got a movie coming out on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Look at that. Ah. Look at that. Hey.
If you're a fan of this show and me and you're not there on Christmas Day, I mean...
I probably won't be.
I won't be there either.
What is it? Whatever this is.
What is this?
I don't know. When is this, Liz? This is the 20th? April 20th?
420!
Hey!
420!
So,
get high! Right?
Dude, starting tomorrow. Right? This is dropping on the 20th.
Yep.
Starting tomorrow...
Yeah.
We are in Moon Tower.
Moon Tower.
Doing comedy sets. Live Dumb People Town.
Our first live pen pals
since...
When was the last one?
It was in Denver for High Plains.
Oh, Denver for High Plains. That's right.
Yeah.
This is our second pandemic live pen pals.
But it's our first time back to Texas where we seem to love doing live
shows.
We
only go to Texas. I think we've done Atlanta,
Denver. We tried to make Chicago happen.
And San Francisco.
And we are talking about doing it again.
Chicago's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, we want Bort and Jen to renew their vows.
Yeah.
And then we do a show, and then we do the Pen Pals
postponed
wedding reception.
Take your time. Take your time. You got it.
So yeah, that'll be really, really fun.
Yeah.
But Moon Tower this weekend, The Living Wake, and Dumb People Town, and obviously
Look it up. You see the full schedule. Daniel's doing stand up. I'm doing stand up. We're both doing this podcast, obviously. And Daniel's got some podcasts and a few shows. So
you're going to be on at least one of those with me, I think.
Check them out. Go
and
check them out.
In May, Come and Take It Comedy Festival.
Come and Take It. Live Houston. You'll hear more about that.
Okay, you ready?
Here we go.
Also, I'm on tour, like literally this next week. You should come see me, danielvankirk.com. Hello, Daniel and Rory.
Nope.
Looks like I understand the assignment. Whoa.
Nope.
They didn't write that.
No, but they do. But they don't. Could you imagine getting that wrong?
What? Get the assignment?
Getting the assignment wrong.
Hello, Daniel and Rory.
Obviously not a paler.
I've known Rory since ground floor, but I firmly believe it should be alphabetical.
That's never mattered.
I'll take it, I guess, but now you kind of shot yourself in the foot with a dart gun.
I'll take it, too.
I'm going to keep this short because I know you guys can run with it. Have you guys ever been on a flight and thought to yourself, how are there 200 people flying from Nebraska to London on a random Thursday in February right now?
Very specific flight.
It is things like this that make me believe we are all Sims characters in someone's Sims 4. Anyways, cackle about this however you want. Thanks for the laughs, Austin. P.S. Rory, my wife and I binged watched all of Robbery. I'm sorry. We binge watched all of Robbie during the OG lockdown of 2020, and that shit was hilarious. So sad it did not get a second season. I'd like to add the word yet.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
It's on Paramount Plus now. I should start plugging that. Robbie is on Paramount Plus. Go there. And get those numbers up. See if anybody notices. Yes. I don't know if they will. Paramount Plus did not know that Robbie was on Paramount Plus. So take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, with what you will.
For anyone who thinks that everything functions and there's a plan, there isn't. I have a show on Paramount Plus, and that platform alone was like, we think we're going to put your show up. We're like, well, it's been there for 3 months. So,
So this is a bit of a TikTok meme. I'm not saying that Austin hasn't thought this of their own. I'm sure many people have. That's probably why it becomes popular. Someone sees it and goes, I've thought that too.
Yeah.
Where people go, why are all these people flying from Dayton, Ohio to Rome? How do I not know any of them? It's Dayton. That many people are doing the same thing I'm doing in a small place.
Yeah.
So
that is interesting. From any city, not just a small one, where you go, what is everyone leaving Nebraska going to London? It's like kind of from any city, what are we all doing?
Well, you know,
are we all going?
I had a really weird thing where second city, you know, and then obviously being out here, I had never met Jason Sudeikis. Then, having never met him, never run into him, anything, we live in the same town, we're not too far from the same circles of social groups, just never met him, have friends who know him, friends who love him. I am in an airport, there's a man who is having a hard time finding his luggage. I end up helping this guy, this big bulk of a Chicago guy, right? Yep. He's like, hey, I don't know, you know, like one of those guys.
Yeah.
And then
not saying real words.
I introduce myself as we both I get my Uber and he's getting his car. And I go, Daniel, good to meet you. He goes, I'm a Daniel too. And I'm like, oh, you got your bag, right? And I look, and I'm pretty sure on the bag, as I look down, it says Sudeikis.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? There's no. And then I do the math, and I'm like, check that would check out for this time of year. Da da da. Week later, I'm back in Los Angeles in the ArcLight.
Yeah.
Asking them when they're going to bring Dean back.
Yeah.
And
when are you guys going to reproject Dean?
And I'm like standing in their old little book, weird knickknack area that they used to have, right?
Yeah.
You thought that alone would have saved that company. And I look over at Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
And I walk over to him and I go, what are the odds? First of all, I meet your dad in an airport and now I'm meeting
you're saying that to him?
The first time. No, I walk up to him. I go, Jason, we've never met. I started out at Second City, which is a great way to, with those types of people. Then be like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. We're okay.
Great.
You're right. Right. And I go, this might sound weird. I don't know if you know about it, but a week ago I helped your dad. I'm pretty sure it was your dad. Find his luggage in Midway Airport. And he goes, you're the guy. And it's weird how things can happen where you the world seems to put people together and you're like, are we all in a simulation?
Yeah.
Which we've talked about like so many times.
Right.
But it does feel like that.
That's such a crazy... Also for him to go, you're the guy, you've been talked about in the Sudeikis household.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wild.
Well, it is a big deal being like, and then this guy, you know, it's always because moments like that are huge. Like, had that been you at this age and someone helped you, you maybe wouldn't even have mentioned it to anybody. But the older you get... These are chapters in the book. Do you know what I mean? And then this guy comes out of nowhere and get this. His name's Daniel. My name's Daniel.
Right.
And we sit there and we go, it's not a great story. And you go, that's because old people are doing less things. Daniel is you know, you've got, if that guy's not Sudeikis, you maybe you're not telling anyone you helped a guy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
You're not going around going, and anyways, I helped a guy. And people go, all right, pat yourself on the back all you want. We get it. You helped a guy.
But you're right. An old guy is an old guy in my scenario would go, I'm at the airport and I can't find his bag, right? And so I'm like, I'll help you find your bag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You having like this other connection to what the story is, it's like, this is a crazy story. That guy's story, it's just as crazy for him. And you're just Daniel Van Kirk. He doesn't know you. You're not. It's not like, well, Daniel's son might be famous. Yeah, he's like, this angel fell from the sky to help us find our bag.
So,
and he's probably told that story more than you've told people that you randomly helped Jason.
This is
all
documented on Twitter. But I was flying to Vegas once to go hang out with Paul the Clown.
Yeah.
And they're...
Tim Sudeikis.
No.
Can't find his seat.
There's two women on the flight with me, right? And one of them is named Edith, this elderly Asian woman.
You don't say.
And then,
Edith.
And then another woman named Joyce. And Joyce is an elderly,
elderly
African-American
names.
Woman.
They're
right?
coming. Those names are coming back for youth, but the moment you say it, I'm like, those are grandmas.
I strike it up with these two.
Yeah.
These two good time gals.
Yeah.
And I'm taking photos and I'm posting on Instagram and I'm learning all this stuff about them. Edith has taken her whole family to Vegas. It's a thing that they love to do.
Yeah.
Joyce's parents, who are in their 90s, and Joyce is in her 70s, they still live in Vegas. So she's going to see them. I go, I have a good 2.5 days in Vegas. I come back. I'm waiting to get on the flight. I look across from me at the gate and there's Edith.
Yeah.
And we're on the exact same flight back, right?
Yeah.
And so then Edith... He says, Daniel, we're going to sit together. I go, whatever you want, Edith. And so then Edith sits with me. And then there's this girl who she was the bride in her own bachelorette party, right? And her name was Felicia.
Yeah.
And she's sitting in the window. And Edith makes me sit in the middle. And Edith sits in. We sit on the tarmac for an hour and a half. The three of us talk the whole time, right? 2 months ago. And it's because it still happens. I get a voicemail from Edith. Daniel, it's Edith. Just thinking about you. There's Christmases where she's called me.
Yes.
I've answered the phone. I imagine her family is like, who is this
person? Why are you doing this, Grandma? Leave
Edith
him alone.
Is wonderful. Felicia and I are still friends on Instagram. And if Edith calls her, she'll be like, heard from Edith.
Yeah.
And it was a thing where just the universe was like, you're going to be on the same flight there and the same flight back with this woman. She was giving me candy from her purse.
Yeah.
My own little like Asian grandma.
You know what no one ever talks about? What happened to Joyce?
I never got to see Joyce
raged.
Again.
She fucking raged in Vegas, dude.
It's all on Instagram.
She's still
you can
there.
See pictures of
She's
me and
still
Joyce
there.
And Edith.
This is a great. I don't know what I think about on a flight. I know we took like a random detour, but you said we would and we were allowed to. I don't know that
we
I,
might be on a simulation.
I don't know that what I think about when I'm on a flight. I think flights are such a bizarre activity that I think it's maybe some of the most meditating I do because there isn't like I'm not social on a plane. I don't want to be. I want to put my headphones in. I want to zone out. I want to watch something. I want to read a book. Look out the window. But I don't know where I mentally go because it's such a part of our jobs that we're always doing it that you just become like whatever on a flight. I don't even know that I think about it too much anymore. But this is a great, great letter.
Yeah. I agree.
And you're closing out.
Okay.
Do a read.
Dude, I like it. I don't know. I was just sitting there thinking about people I knew on planes. So many stories I could tell. Austin, we wish you well.
We're in your city. We're in Austin tomorrow.
I can't wait.
So.
That is cool. See, it happened.
That's the universe.
Joyce.
That's Joyce.
We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Scovel.
Pen Pals is produced by Lissa Rubin and engineered and mixed by Chad Bouchard. Our artwork was created by Jeffrey Tice, and our theme music is by Patrick Keenan of The Winter Sounds. Extra thank you to Aristotle Acevedo for his help on this episode.
You can follow Pen Pals on Twitter and Instagram at the Pen Pals Pod. You can see all of that content thanks to Caitlin Bordini, who runs our social media.
Head to youtube.com/Daniel Van Kirk Comedy to watch these episodes absolutely free, and subscribe to patreon.com/penpals for only $5. You can listen to a follow-up letter every week, and you'll be the first to hear all upcoming Pen Pals news.
But the easiest way to support the show is to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell everyone you know about your two favorite cackling idiots. Hashtag grow the show. It wasn't so long ago.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.